Good morning. Can you hear me? Good morning. Good. Good morning. It's back. Before I get started, I just celebrated a birthday, and someone had gifted me this cross, and it's probably about this big, but in it it's engraved, "Be still and know that I am God." And so as I was preparing this morning and I was getting dressed, I was kind of just admiring the gift, kind of cruising around, getting dressed, and all of a sudden I looked at my watch and I went, no. And all of a sudden that whole "be still" thing just went right out the window and I was racing out the door. I don't know how I parked in the parking lot. If you hear sirens, that's probably them still trying to find the guy who was racing through a couple of lights. If there's some red light cameras out there, my wife's going to have a few tickets because I'm driving her car. And so it's amazing how quickly we can lose that "be still" thing. It's amazing how fast things change. It's amazing how fast we can be where I was this morning and I was excited to be here and getting dressed and just taking my time and knowing, man, I looked outside the blinds, the sun was out, it was a nice cool breeze, because I don't know about you, but I'm kind of done with the 80s weather. I need someplace in the 70s. And so it's amazing how fast we can look out and things are wonderful and it changes that fast. I want to share a few things with you this morning, and maybe after today, I don't ever come back. But if you've heard me for a few, I step on a few toes sometimes. But it's only because I get trampled on as I'm preparing. So I figure, listen, I like to share. And so I want to share with you this morning. If you're taking notes, the title of the message this morning is "When I Don't Feel New." When I don't feel new. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. And Lord, I know what the scripture says, and I know how we're often encouraged. And I pray this morning, Lord, that we would leave encouraged. But I pray that we would leave encouraged by the words that you're going to share with us this morning, because there are some things that may be difficult. I don't know where we are in the seasons of our life. I know where I am. You've allowed me to share my heart and be honest and not worry about me. And so, God, I pray that I can do that this morning. Pray that in the midst of all my ramblings, that you would touch hearts, God. I thank you and pray in Jesus' name. We're going to begin this morning in 2 Corinthians, but then I'll allow you to cheat a little bit, and if you want to just stick a finger in Ezekiel chapter number 37, because that's where we're going to go in a few minutes, and we're going to spend the rest of the morning there. But I want to begin because the title doesn't sound or make much sense unless we share this text. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17, it says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And so if we've accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, then the scripture tells us that we're a brand new creation. We don't just get a wash. We don't just get a nice new coat of paint. The entire being is changed from the inside out. He takes up residence inside of us and he makes us brand new. And that's fantastic. Supposed to be new. And I know that we've come here and we've come to various places and we've read the scripture and you're a new creation. This is how you're supposed to behave and this is how you're supposed to act. Well, I want to tell you this morning that I don't always feel that way. I don't always feel encouraged by what the scripture says, because I'm going through a season of life. And my season of life, sometimes it's dark. Sometimes you're left wondering. You're left wondering because the scripture doesn't match what's going on. And if you turn on the TV, and depending on what you watch, there's some people who tell you everything is supposed to be fantastic all the time. I recently dropped my daughter off at college, 9 hours away. I wasn't feeling new. I was feeling old and disconnected and separated. A part of me had left. I didn't want it that way. I wanted things to be the way they were before we got set in that car. I wanted it just the way it was because I can control things. And I could have my hand on it. I can monitor more. It's the way it was planned. Sometimes the idea that everything is going to be great all the time is not really true. We struggle with things, we go through things, and I don't have to stop there for too long. You understand, because I'm sure in this group we have struggles. We all deal with things. But sometimes we're told that everything is okay and it should be okay all of the time, but it doesn't match. And what happens is that when we struggle and when we make mistakes and when we fall and when we don't get back up that fast, it can lead us into a further decline because we're trying to figure out, God, what is it that's going on? Because I know what your word says, but my life doesn't match. My feelings don't match. My emotions don't match. And I need to know where that disconnect is. I want to feel the way the scripture says, and we're not told that it's okay to not be okay. Can I just tell you this morning? It's okay to not be okay. I want to encourage you this morning in the scripture. Because it'd be easy for me to just stand here and try to encourage you on my own. But I want to do it through the scripture because that's our basis. That's where we're truly going to be encouraged. That's where we're going to find the real joy when he gave us a new start. Just because you don't feel new, God is still with you. Just because you don't feel new, God can still give you a dream. Just because you don't feel new, God can still give you a new vision. And for some of us this morning, we need a new dream and we need a new vision and we need a fresh understanding. But we're stuck and we're not sure how to do that. Do you know that God can still work in those that don't feel new? Actually, when I look at scripture, I see him doing more things through people who didn't look or feel new than those who were new. There's a lot of brokenness in this, and that's what's so awesome, isn't it? There are a lot of people who are just, if we're honest, they're just messed up in this book. And for the young people, they are just jacked up. They don't know if they're coming or going. They don't know what's going on in life, but they're just trying to figure it out. And Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 says this. He said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like the grain, like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, obviously, he's not talking about the mountains that we get to witness in the Hudson Valley. He's not talking about those things. Obviously, he's talking about the mountains in our life. He's talking about the things in our life. And, you know, in that particular perspective, and that's what we need is perspective, because sometimes we make the little molehills and we make them these big giant mountains. But here's what I'm going to say to you. I'm not going to tell you that your molehill is not a mountain. If you believe that that's a mountain, then fantastic. Let's walk through it in the scripture and let's figure it out, because sometimes in our good intentions, we tell people, it's going to be okay. And we're like, yeah, you don't live my life. And right now, I don't feel that it's okay. And so I appreciate what you have to say. But and so just be careful with the things that you say sometimes. A lot of times I found it in ministering to people that the best thing was silence. Just your presence was enough. Just being there and sitting and really admitting to the person, man, I have no idea what you're going through. I don't know your feelings. I don't know your emotions. I don't know your trouble. I'm just here. I'm just going to sit with you if you want to tolerate me sitting here. If it's okay to just hang out with you. And we'll bear it together. He says just a little bit of a mustard seed. And some of you may have, some of the ladies may have had that necklace that has just a mustard seed. mustard seed, and it's so tiny, it's smaller than your pinky nail. If you've ever seen one, if you dropped it on this carpet, you'd never find it again. God is saying, that's how much faith you need in my economy. I don't need you to be a giant of the faith, and the truth is, in the years of ministering to people, I don't even know what that is. A giant of the faith. Well, who is that? What is that? Is that someone that he rips open his shirt and has an S on it? Who is that person? Because I don't know who that is. But with that little mustard seed of faith, he says, listen, would you just trust that I know what I'm doing? Would you just hang on in the midst of where you are? Jesus says, when you're on spiritual empty, trust me. Just trust me. Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6 say this. The apostles said to the Lord, and here they are, and they're trying to figure this all out. Do we know that the apostles had no idea really what was going on? They're trying to figure this out all throughout. They're hanging out with Jesus, and all kinds of things are happening, and they're still trying to figure it out. And so if you're trying to figure it out, it's okay. You're in good company. And he says that they say, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed. And so the essence of the scripture is this. They're asking for an increase of faith, and Jesus says, all you need is a little bit. All you need is a little bit. You have what you need in you. And so often we're left and we're looking for so much more. And what he's telling us is that in the midst of whatever is going on in life, that whatever you have at that particular moment, it's okay. It's okay because you have enough. If you're a child of God, as we went, go back to that very first scripture, if you're a child of God, if you've accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, that finished work on that cross, the blood that was shed, then you have all you need. But yet as human, we're looking for more, aren't we? Show me more. Tell me more. I want more. I want more. I want more. And it goes back to you. You have all you need. You have what you need. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, and here's where we'll get into this text for the rest of the morning. Because sometimes we're going to be in the valley. Do you realize that the valleys are so much wider and bigger than the mountaintops? The mountain comes to a peak, and you know what happens at the end of it? We've got to go back down. And most of the time we spend in the valley, but we want to experience the mountaintops. You know what the reality is that we need to learn how to live in the valley. And that's where our faith comes in, that little itty-bitty mustard seed. And in chapter 37, verse 1, he says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. This is the prophet speaking. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, you know. O Lord God, you know. Ezekiel doesn't say, why are you asking me a really, and I'll be nice, silly question? I'm in the midst of all this chaos. I'm in the midst of these dry bones, and dry bones mean death, and let's say it the way it is. And you're asking me if these bones can live? Are you kidding me? How is it possible that that is going to happen? How is it possible that these things can be reconstructed? How is it that these bones will walk in? They don't even match. I see that's a leg. I don't know what that is. How is it that they can be put back together? But notice his answer. O Lord God, you know. What does Ezekiel do? He demonstrates mustard seed faith. God, I don't know how it's possible that this can be put back together. I don't know, no idea. Like, I'm going to sit here and watch. I want to see how it happens because I don't know how it happens, but you do. God, you know how this works out. You know how this story ends. You know the details from today, yesterday, and tomorrow. I have no idea, but somehow you do. And I'm going to leave open the possibility that God, that you can do this. the very same is being asked of us. When we look out in our lives and we see the valley of dry bones, and when we see the mess that's taken place and the things that have come and the things that we've done, because we need to be honest, we contribute a lot to some of the messes in our life. We can't just blame everyone, although it seems that is what our society likes to do. We need to take responsibility, because I believe that when we take responsibility, then things can change. Then things can begin to heal. Then things can begin to be different. But Ezekiel leaves open the possibility. He demonstrates mustard seed faith. And so I ask you this morning, would you leave open the possibility for a reconstruction of your life? Would you leave open the possibility of a reconstruction of life that did something to you? That troublemaker, whoever he or she is. The one that we look at and we go, yeah, Jesus can't do nothing with you because you are so far gone. Woo, you are out there. You know what's awesome is that standing here in front of you, I was that guy. I didn't always look so good. Actually, I did, but I'm just trying to be a little humble this morning. And so I did. You want to see pictures? I could. No, I'm kidding. True story, my wife is away for the weekend, and I sent her a picture, and she responded back, and she was very kind. And Lord help me. And so if you don't like what I'm wearing, it's her fault. And so there, all right, I've got to blame it on somebody. But anyway, I'm just saying, my wife thought, you know, maybe it's still my birthday weekend, so she was being kind. I guess Monday morning it'll return back to, you know, the way things were. Lord help me bear my cross. She's not here this morning, so I can act up a little bit. Verses 4 through 6. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Are you kidding me? Really? That's a good movie, isn't it? There's probably been a few like that, where things all of a sudden, you know, I don't know what movie, but one of those, like, things come back together, and because I've never seen that happen. But what's the essence of what it is that he's saying? There's a couple of things going on here, and the first of which, what does God do? He tells Ezekiel, you speak to the bones. He says, I'm God. I can tell those bones whatever I want them to do. And they'll do it because I'm God, because I created them. And the condition is because I've allowed the condition, because everything must pass through the hands of God. But he tells the prophet, he says, you talk to the bones. Why? Here's what I believe. Because the mustard seed needs to be activated by the Creator. It needs to be activated by action. Something has to take place. Because do you know that the Word of God is really useless if it just sits in between the bindings of this book? But every time we see God in action, what is he doing? He's using someone. And he uses a lot of unlikely people. Like me and you. Because the fact of the matter is, we're all unlikely people. We all have flaws. If we could look into your house, we'd see some stuff that goes, you're disqualified. Thanks for trying. But God sees you and goes, that's the one. That's the one I want to use, because the life that they've led, that's the life I need to minister to the one that no one wants to talk to. The one that's been broken, the one that's gone through the mill, the one that has been dragged through the mud. I need that person. But I need someone who understands that life. Can I just be honest with you this morning? There are so many different stories. I know a few of them in here, but there are so many different stories in this room. And do you realize that God wants to use your story and your testimony to reach someone who is just like you? He needs your brokenness. He needs what you, like, no way am I sharing this. There's not a chance in the world. I'm not sharing this story because you think about me. And that's in the church. Isn't that a sad admonition? That in the church you can't be real? Come through the doors and we put on, hey, everything's fantastic if you only knew. Need to be honest. If there's going to be an uprising in the church, we need to get beyond, you know what, man, I can't tell this story. We got to tell that story because someone's waiting to hear your story. And here he tells Ezekiel, he says, you speak to them because I need you to be the one. I'm choosing you as the vehicle to speak to this dead destruction that's in front of you. I need you to speak to it because I want you to see what can happen. I want you to see the possibilities. Again, if you're in a dry place and all you have is that mustard seed faith right now, you're a new creation, but it just doesn't make sense. You're kind of still trying to figure it out. Can I encourage you this morning? It's the very word of God that we need to put inside of us. The very word of God that's going forth this morning that has to pour over you so that then you can be activated by faith. I was several years ago, I may have shared this story with some of you before, but I had the opportunity and over a sad occasion, but I went to Haiti after the earthquake years ago. And I was watching TV and it took place, and immediately in my spirit I knew that I had to be there. I really still to this day can't explain why. But I knew that I had to be there. 6 weeks later, and we're driving through the Dominican Republic because we couldn't land in Haiti because the airport was still closed. And we got there, long story short, get there. We were sleeping in alleys. You know, the building was leaning like the Tower of Pisa, and we were safe under it. That's just, you know, guys like me find safe places like that. I don't know, because at least if it falls, it'll be quick, and, you know, we won't feel too much while we're sleeping. And so we had dogs on either side of this alley. And so while we're there, we're sleeping in this tent. We're on the concrete slab. We're sleeping there, and all of a sudden you hear the dogs. Like, we weren't sleeping too heavy, and I'm a heavy sleeper. You can rob my house, and I'll still just don't touch me, and just take everything. I'll sleep right through it. I won't even know. And so all we hear is claws digging into the concrete. And if you have an animal, you know the difference between he wants to talk to you and he wants to eat you. And all of a sudden, you hear the nails, and they rise up at the same time, I think, and they start barking. And so we all wake up and we look at each other and go, do we go out and die or do we just stay here and die? What do you want to do? And so that was kind of what we were in. And so now we're leaving and we have to drive back to the border of Dominican Republic and Haiti. And we're leaving through there. We're behind the Red Cross truck. The border was about to close and we knew that we were racing against time to get to the border. Go behind the Red Cross truck. We get into Dominican Republic. And it took about 2 seconds. Someone starts yelling at our car. Get the car out of here. Get the car out of here. And we're like, get it out. And so we get out of the car. Get your bags out of the car. Throw the bags out of the car. All of a sudden, there's some soldiers come towards us. And I can look into his face and I'm going, you're about 18 years old. Can you just move your finger off that trigger? The car goes back into Haiti and now we're stranded at the border. With no vehicle and no place to go. So eventually they take us and they march us into this room and I can see the light in the building. And there were 3 prison cells. And there were 3 of us. And so I looked to my left and to my right. I said, hey, look, there's going to be one for each of us. And they didn't find any of that funny. But it was just what came to me at the moment. And so now they take our bags and they put them on the table. And they start opening our bags and rifling through our bags. And we had taken medication down there. And I think the person that packed the medication so that we could leave in Haiti when we had left was a former drug dealer because he packed them like no one else can pack drugs. And we opened the bag and I see the stuff, nothing in labels, just pills. I knew what they were, but they were unlabeled, unmarked, in packaging, plastic wrap, taped over. And I go, how did that get back in the bag? Does that remind you of something? Egypt, they're leaving, they chase after Joseph. Look in the bags, you stole this. It'll make sense later. And I'm going, oh my, we are now in trouble. At that very moment, when I had nothing left, no answers, bewildered, confused, lost, not sure what was happening next, the only words that could come out of my mouth were, we're from New York, pastors trying to share the love of Jesus with people. Immediately, we made eye contact. They started putting our things back in the bags, zipped them up, and said, go on your way. That was nice, but on my way, my car just went back into Haiti, and I don't know where on my way is. Ironically enough, I'll tell you, this is honest truth. This woman who we knew, and we began to, our brains started to come back together, and we began to remember, and we knew a woman who kind of essentially was in control of that area, and we were able to call her, and she took us to her home. And when we get to the front of the home, it's a wall that's about 12, 15 feet high. There was a gate, and we went inside. Does that mean anything to you? And she protected the three of us for the night. At that point, I'll be honest with you. I had mustard seed faith. Because I couldn't control anything that was going on. It was out of my hand. It was in the hand of some young soldiers to decide what they would do with us. And God said, will you trust me? Will you believe that I can get you through this moment? And let me just be totally honest. You know, the answer I gave back was no. I've never been here before. I was driving a little bit late this morning. I turned on the GPS and all of a sudden it said, make a left. I said, no way, I don't know that road. And it said left, and all of a sudden the car, I'm making a left turn. I'm going, all right, I'm going to trust you. And now I'm whipping through people. People are enjoying the scenery and the apples, and I'm going, get out of the way. I got to go. And it was just another reminder, just as I was coming here this morning, that you have no control. I just need you to believe. I just need you to have a little bit of faith and I will get you through there. Yeah, I know God wasn't in the ways, or maybe he's actually the one that created it, because I honestly don't have any idea how that thing knows every single road ever created possible. It's amazing, isn't it? Or am I just that simple? All right, don't answer that one. He is in control. Verse 11 through 14. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you. And you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. To be fair to the text, God is speaking to the nation Israel, and the nation Israel is an utmost disaster. If you go back and you look at the history of Israel, you will see that they are like the EKG. They're up and they're down, they're up and they're down. When things are going well, they disregard the Lord, and when things happen, they come running back. God, help me. It's just like our children. But the very fact is this. I believe, maybe I'm wrong, but I believe that our church today is very much the same. The church is the people, not the building. And we're up and we're down. And when things are good, we pray a little less. As soon as we get a bad report, man, we are wearing out our pants. We are hitting the floor. We don't mind. We discover all kinds of praying positions that we never knew existed before. And we're pouring in. Just a simple question. Why is our prayer life not like that all the time? And I'm not judging.
Because I'm talking about me. I learned to pray when I dropped off my daughter in a different way than I've prayed before. So it's okay. I am not throwing stones. Because if you knew everything about me, wow, you may not invite me here. Wants us to get started, and for some of us to get started again. And he's allowing us the opportunity to do that. He's allowing the church to get itself together, to be presentable when he returns, because the scripture tells us that he will come back. When? I don't know. But will we be prepared? Or will, unfortunately, like those movies that we see, when he returns, people are trying to figure out what on earth just happened. There's one scene in one of those Left Behind movies where it's the pastor who comes back to this church. That scared the heck out of me. It doesn't matter. We put our best foot forward. And so can I encourage you this morning? I don't know your heart. God does. Would you get it right this morning with him? Right now, right where you are. We don't need an invitation. The invitation just went forward where you're sitting. You've heard the word of God. And so you'll leave here this morning with no excuse. Do you know it all? Nope. And guess what? I don't either. And I hope I never know it all. Because my God is that big that I can't ever figure him out. How often have we told God, God, just show me. Just tell me what it is you want me to do. That's been my prayer sometimes. Just tell me what it is. I'll do it. Just tell me what it is you want me to do. Show me the next step. And all we hear is crickets. I don't hear from God. I hear the wildlife. Just nothing going on. And here's what the scripture says. Genesis chapter 1. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And we right away take out the GPS on the phone. Are you all right? Give me the address. I'll go. And God says, no. Just start walking. Who's signing up for that? I don't want to. I need to know. How many, this may be funny, I don't know. But how many of us look at the GPS and then scan through it to know, all right, where do I go? I'm not waiting for it to tell me, turn left. We're going to go, shh. I want to see the exact route and do. I see some laughs, some faces smiling. Maybe you, or it's probably the one next to you, right? But shh, don't, I won't tell. All right? And so we want to know everything. Tell me the next step. I want to know. I want to know. I want to know. And you know, the reality is God had shared with me what was going to happen in Haiti. I'm not getting on the plane. I'm just telling you, sleep in an alley with a building leaning over me. No, that's bad construction. Bad idea. I would not have gone, but I was there in a place where I had absolutely no control. Couldn't speak the language to most. But I was there. We were serving people food, and as we were serving food, I had asked a few people, and I had someone who could translate for me, to ask them if they ate, and the one answer came back, I'm not interested in food. I want that Bible, because I'll be hungry again, but I know that if I have the word of God, that I will be full. And I just, if you know me, it was over. I couldn't. In America, we've got to, you know, we got to trick them and put PS4 box and go here. Yeah, I'll take that box and I'll open it inside a Bible. A Bible, what's wrong with you, man? It's not nice. Go from what you know to a place that you have no idea what's going to happen next. Do we have those people in the church still? Maybe you've never been on a mission trip before. Maybe the mission is just down the street. Maybe it's overseas. My daughter, Alyssa, who went to school here for a year, she heard a story about some kids who had gone, I forget exactly where they went, forgive me, South America someplace, South Central, I forget exactly where it was. But at the end of it, you know, I wasn't expecting anything. And she was like, Mom, I think I'm going to do that. And there's nothing greater than hearing one of your kids saying, you know what? I don't need a new iPhone. I'm going to do something for someone else. But if you want to get me the new iPhone when I come back, hey, bless your heart. Psalm 119:105 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know what that is? Mustard seed. Because it's just going to light your next step. And we're like, yeah, no, that's not good. Give me a big headlamp and put the high beams on the car and light this whole road up so that I know where I'm going. And God is saying, look, just trust me a little bit. I'll get you there. I brought you this far. You've survived some stuff that, honestly, you should be dead. You should be where the other guys that you were hanging out with are right now. I'm sorry if I'm being a little bit too graphic, but I'm just trying to help us understand. Just walk. Just take the next step. And guess what? If it's where God wants you to be, it may seem crazy as can be, but you're going to be okay. It's going to work out. And by that, I don't mean that, you know, you get superstar status at the end, because it would be unfair to those who've gone out in faith for the Lord and didn't come home. But they were where they were supposed to be. Here's what's neat. Is that this morning, this is right where you were supposed to be. I wasn't supposed to be here. And then they said, would you come? I said, yeah, but my fees have gone way up since the last time. I'm teasing. If you've accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then let's go back to the beginning. You're a new creation. He's changed you from the inside out. He's taken up residence inside your heart. And what a joyous thing that is. But maybe I don't feel new. That's okay. You've come to the right place. It's just one step forward again with Him. And unlike us, God doesn't hold grudges. He just says, I'm glad you're back. It's like the dad who ran out to meet his son. Do you know that in those particular days, the father running would have been way beneath him? Because he would have walked with all his honor and all his glory. And God was saying, that's my child. I'm running and I don't care who gets offended by this. I'm running out to meet him. That's what he does for each and every single one of us. He went and rescued you from where you were. And he gave you new life. Would you honor him by presenting it back to him? But I don't know how to do it. It's okay. You'll learn along the way. I don't know enough about scripture. Fantastic. I don't. Hey, that was pretty good. I don't either. Trust him. As I'm trying to learn myself how to trust him. One step back. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you are gracious. We thank you that you allow us to come right back. God, if we've taken a step or to the right, or maybe we haven't moved at all, we're in the same place, contemplating the same things. God, show us to take that step forward. May we find it, knowing that you didn't just die for us to sit where we are. You gave us a mandate, and that was to reach into this world.
Some of us will go very far. Some of us will just go door to door.
Whatever it is that you've called us to do, may we do that. In this world where there are hurting people, some sitting in this room this morning, I pray that you've ministered to them, God, that you've encouraged them this morning. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be fantastic as they leave this morning, but it's moving in the right way. So God, we thank you as we sang earlier about your faithfulness. God, I pray that we would experience that now. But you want us to take the first step. And so we thank you for new beginnings, Lord. We thank you for the new creation that you made because of your Son. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.